When I graduated, all those years ago, I did not do the sensible thing. No management trainee programs, no signing up to become an accountant or a lawyer. Instead, I followed some friends to the Edinburgh Festival, and I was stage manager for a fairly elaborate production. And that was why, on returning to London, the only job I could get was working the night shift in a large data processing centre. These were the early days of tapes and discs, astonishingly primitive stuff to us now. Probably the whole computer capability of the centre was equivalent to what we now have in the simplest, the tiniest of gizmos. The biggest job the centre undertook, which involved us lugging hefty disk units in and out of the machines, was that of updating the daily transactions of the banking customers of Abbey National, these days Santander. It was an extraordinarily clunky process, and the job ran throughout the night. Nowadays, the Bank of England, through its real-time gross settlement service, described recently by Mark Carney, the bank's governor, as pretty awesome, settles over £600 billion of payments in real time each day. And as anyone who has stood in a queue at a bar or a sandwich shop would have noticed, cash is no longer the preferred means of payment. Banknotes, and particularly since the influx of the plastic versions, are on the way out, with a 5% year-on-year fall in transactions. Electronic money is obviously the direction of choice. But that has huge implications for everyone involved, not least the banks. Cryptocurrencies, which miss out the banks and financial institutions completely and allow payments to be made directly between payer and payee, could become the answer. It cuts out the intermediaries. But at the moment, the whole process involved with cryptocurrencies is in its early, clunky days. The data processing power required for what the industry calls the mining of a new unit of a cryptocurrency is staggering. Mark Carney made the point to a conference organised by Scottish students in Edinburgh that the annual electricity consumption of just one of these currencies, Bitcoin, was the equivalent of twice the annual electricity consumption of the whole of Scotland. And the computer power involved has led to accusations that some of these miners of cryptocurrencies can only sustain what they are doing by hacking into the computer power of very large organisations to, well, help them out. This mass theft of processing power is now known as cryptojacking. And then there is the problem of the volatility of the value of the currency. Carney used a simple example to his audience of students. Consider that if you had taken out a £1,000 student loan in Bitcoin last December to pay your sterling living costs for next year, you'd be short about £500 right now, he said. If you'd have done the same last September, you'd be ahead by £2,000. That's, as he pointed out, quite a lottery. So what happens next? The real struggle is what always happens whenever an unruly upstart, a disruptor, but with an underlying value, comes into view. Regulators will want to regulate. The accounting world, in the name of providing credibility, will want to create standards. The processing power issue will have to be sorted out in these days of carbon reduction. But if they get their story straight, cryptocurrencies could easily usurp the unpopular bankers by portraying a simpler world. And then, just as card payments have usurped cash, they will become the preferred means of money. The future belongs to electronic ease, not complexities.